Police Chief Ed Kapanash is savoring his last days before retirement on Nantucket Island. After 35 years of service and a recent widowmaker heart attack, he's ready to hang up his badge. During his retirement dinner at Ventuno, surrounded by loved ones and indulging in forbidden wine and a magnificent Fiorentina steak, his phone buzzes with one final emergency. The Richardsons' mansion has burned down, and their personal concierge, Coco Coyle, has mysteriously disappeared from their yacht. With just 100 hours left as chief, Ed must solve this final case, a mystery that will become his swan song. What makes this case particularly intriguing is its connection to Nantucket's most talked-about newcomers. The Richardsons arrived like a hurricane, paying $22 million for the iconic 888 property on Pocomo Road, transforming it into a showcase estate, complete with helipad and infinity pool. They've spent the summer buying their way into island society with lavish parties and strategic donations. But beneath their glossy facade lie troubling secrets that are about to unravel in spectacular fashion. Coco Coyle's journey to Nantucket begins in a St. John bar where she meets Bull and Leslie Richardson. Learning they're heading to Nantucket, she claims she's going there too, prompting Bull to offer her a position as their personal concierge at $35 hourly plus housing, a dream opportunity for a small-town Arkansas girl raised by a single mother. This job offers Coco more than income. It's an escape and chance to pitch her screenplay, Rosebush, about a small-town girl with big dreams. In Nantucket, she receives a beautiful apartment above the garage, a vintage Land Rover, and a uniform of peony pink polo shirts and white shorts that Bull requires all staff to wear so people know who you are. This is true luxury, Coco thinks, surveying her private apartment. For someone who's never had her own space, this independence feels revolutionary. Yet beneath her comfort lies ambition, to somehow convince Bull, with his Hollywood connections, to launch her writing career. Despite Leslie's strict rule against staff dating, an undeniable attraction sparks between Coco and Lamont Oakley, the Richardson's boat captain. Their connection begins when Lamont rescues Coco from wet sand near the lighthouse in his weathered Land Rover, equipped with beach gear and Nantucket navigation experience. Their chemistry intensifies during a fishing lesson, with Lamont standing close behind Coco in the golden morning light. Though professional at work, after the Richardson's 4th of July party, Lamont appears at Coco's door confessing his feelings are more powerful than my fear of breaking the rule. Their romance unfolds against Nantucket's stunning backdrop. Secret beach meetings, French 75 cocktails made with borrowed Amalfi lemons, and intimate conversations under starlit skies. When Leslie discovers Lamont's distinctive deck shoes in Coco's apartment, she launches into a vicious attack, revealing her insecurities and the class prejudices permeating Nantucket's summer society. Leslie Richardson pursues Nantucket society with military precision, targeting membership in the exclusive Field and Oar Club, where old money reigns. Her strategy unfolds methodically across the island. She cultivates strategic friendships with influential women, Phoebe Wheeler, whose husband chairs the club's membership committee, Andrea Kapanash, the police chief's wife with extensive community connections, and even the skeptical Delilah Drake, temporarily won over by Leslie's phantom $175,000 pledge to a local food pantry. Her parties grow increasingly exclusive. At her Swingers in the Summertime garden party for six couples, she separates spouses around a hot tub, makes advances toward the police chief underwater, and creates an atmosphere of calculated decadence. The pickleball court reveals Leslie's true nature most clearly. She deliberately breaks rules, aims dangerous shots at opponents' faces, and claims victory regardless of the score. When Delilah protests Leslie's cheating, Andrea reminds her, it's just a game. But for Leslie, everything is a competition to win by any means necessary. As summer progresses, cracks appear in the Richardson's carefully constructed facade. A declined credit card hints at financial trouble, while Coco catches Leslie photographing donation checks before destroying them, revealing their philanthropy as mere performance. Bull returns from Indonesian business trips increasingly stressed. When arriving home unexpectedly, he admits to Coco his trip went poorly, though he minimizes this for Leslie. Meanwhile, rumors spread about Sweetwater facing environmental violations. When Bull reads Coco's screenplay, he praises her writing but crushes her dreams by declaring it too small for Hollywood. His dismissal, "There is no story here," reveals his superficial values that recognize only spectacle, not authentic human drama. Leslie's vicious reaction to discovering Coco and Lamont's relationship exposes her true character. Admitting the staff uniform was meant to hide Coco's shabby appearance while making thinly veiled racist comments about Lamont. After the fire, police discover boxes of Australian currency hidden on the Richardsons' yacht. The perfect couple was financially desperate, their extravagant lifestyle a house of cards. On August 22nd, days before Chief Ed's retirement, the Richardsons' house burns down while they host a sunset sale where the couple renews their vows. During the celebration, Coco mysteriously disappears from their yacht. Three possibilities emerge: accident, suicide, or murder. Lamont points to a faulty latch on the boat's rear gate, though other evidence complicates the accident theory. "She's somewhere," Casey insists. Crucially, Lamont admits he kissed Coco during the vow renewal and told her he loved her, potentially giving Leslie a motive. The case escalates when Coco's clothes wash up on Smith's Point Beach. When questioned, Leslie hysterically accuses Coco of starting the fire out of jealousy. Fire Chief Stu Vick later confirms arson, with a curling iron and perfume as accelerant. After falling overboard, Coco fights the current, shedding her heavy clothes to swim better. As exhaustion sets in, she hears a search helicopter. Bull's dismissive words, "There is no story here," echo in her mind, strengthening her resolve to survive despite the odds. The investigation reveals Leslie set the fire herself for insurance money, using her curling iron and perfume-soaked rags. She considered framing Coco, but claims Coco fell overboard before she decided. Coco transforms her experience into a screenplay that sells to Warner Bros. For seven figures, proving authentic human drama, not spectacle, makes compelling narratives. At Chief Ed's retirement party, faces from career-defining cases surround him. What moves him most is witnessing healing, like Coco and Lamont rebuilding their lives with their new art gallery. Walking Jetty's Beach one last time, memories flood back. His wedding, breaking up graduation parties, discovering hidden gardens, holding his newborns. His chest tightens with more visions, morning scalloping, Main Street after blizzards, the explosion of yellow during Daffodil Festival. Ed reflects on finding his true home on this sandbar 30 miles out to sea. His whispered Nantucket carries a lifetime of love and service, showing that true wealth lies in authentic connections and the communities we build.